Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Hey, welcome back to Project Independence in You here at WCWP.org. 88.1 FM on your radio dial, and also checking out your apps. You can download WCWP Radio, and that gets you right to us right away. So before we took our break, I know Jerry had some things he wanted to talk about with Stephen Markowitz, who is the chairman of the Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center of Nassau County.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that historically, thousands of Roman Catholics also lost their lives under Hitler, and
there's no question that millions and millions of people died during the Second World War and were victims of the Nazis. A majority of them were not Jewish, but the Jewish population was the only one that was marked for genocide, state-sponsored genocide to wipe out a particular people. The role of the Catholic community in the Second World War was very mixed, of course. There were, we'll talk about Poland in particular, there were collaborators, no question about it, but there were also incredible number of people who put their lives and their families' lives on the line to save Jews. There were rescuers, and we will be holding a program in the next few months on this issue of Polish rescuers during the war who did a wonderful, I mean, just amazing things, and who are recognized as righteous people at Yad Vashem in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to make sure these people are recognized. We have quite a few of our Holocaust survivors at our center are people who were saved by Polish Catholic neighbors.
Interesting.
That's very important.
Yes.
And the Anne Frank story includes the fact that there was a Christian family that knew they were there in that cottage upstairs, and brought them news and brought them food. So that's a good example.
Well, many, if not most, people who did survive the Holocaust, who were were in hiding or whatever, was because of Gentile people who saved them, who put their lives and their families' lives on the line to do that.
So the program then that you are chair of is really about saving humanity, promoting constructive and warm relationships between people, regardless of their religious or racial ethnic background. It's everybody. We're all in it together.
The Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center, obviously, its initial focus and its primary focus is on the victims, memorializing the Jewish victims of the Holocaust and whatever, but we are very much a secular organization. We look at persecutions of all peoples. We did a program with young Latino immigrants that are here, unaccompanied kids who have come here and to escape the most horrible situations back home in Honduras, Guatemala, whatever, and their fates are still unknown. They're not going to be able to stay, what the future holds for them. But when they told their stories, we then paired them up with Holocaust survivors who came to Britain or the United States as unaccompanied minors, and their stories, what they went through, and just showed the universality of all this and the history repeating itself in many ways. And, that brings me to the whole issue of immigration. It's a very, very important issue to us because, we are all immigrants in a sense. And like I said before, if the world had opened up its doors, the Holocaust never would have happened. And we have to think about that very strongly now when we deal with the difficult issues of immigration today.
That's for sure.
Absolutely.
That is for sure. This is Project Independence in the town of North Hempstead, and I know Stephen, you reside in the town of North Hempstead, and we're grateful to have you here. What types of participation do the schools of North Hempstead have with the center and also other temples, and what's that relationship like?
I would say that of all the towns on Long Island, we get the most and best participation from the town of North Hempstead. I work very closely with Town Supervisor Judy Bosworth, and we were instrumental with working with her to create with the Not in Our Town program,
right,
to fight bias and intolerance, and we're very proud of our role in working with Judy and her team to put that together. The school systems, the school districts in North Hempstead, by and large, almost all of them participate with programs at our center. Not all, but most of them. And we're working to get to those who haven't yet. We just had a meeting the other day at the center with school superintendent Teresa Prendergast, brought all of her administrators, principals, and top administrators to the center for a day to learn about what we do, what we can offer, and to encourage all their teachers and whatever to take advantage of the programs we offer. We work very closely with Paul Washington. We have done programs throughout the town.
What if someone wants to just come with their family? What are the hours of operations?
We are open 7 days a week, from 10 to 4. Anybody can walk in at any time. Our location is both a blessing and a curse. It's a curse in the sense that we are in the northern part of Glen Cove. Again, it's a beautiful mansion, but it's not the kind of location where you're going to go walk in traffic, people
right,
passing
right.
by. But on the other hand, so it's a destination you have to go to.
Right.
On the other hand, when you get there, you drive through this most magnificent property. We're on 220 acres called Wellwyn Preserve at County Park. And just beautiful, beautiful grounds with hiking trails and a beach and all that. But when you come in there, the serenity of the area, the beauty of the area, and then they walk into this building that you just, literally, if you haven't been there before, you're not going to believe what you see in terms of the quality of the museum and the education facilities and the incredible, enthusiastic staff I have to run this place.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the staff. How do you staff it?
We have volunteers? No. We have a small professional staff of fewer than 10 people who are just, I can't say enough about the great work that they do. But we're really, what helps us, what makes it possible is we have a huge cadre of volunteers. Volunteers who are the docents who take people through the museum. Mm-hmm. They are the educators who help run the classes when the schools come. To help us with all kinds of tasks within the museum. And we have our survivors. When I started, we had a pretty significant number, and obviously that number diminishes all the time. But they are our most precious asset, survivors who come and tell their stories, and no matter how they're feeling, whatever, they pull themselves together because they recognize just how important the work that they are doing and what we are doing.
I think that teachers should invite some of the speakers, like either a Holocaust survivor who would be a rather elderly person today, but they're around and they're able to speak to kids to come to the school and teach and talk to the social studies class.
We do that all the time.
Okay.
We run programs in the schools where we go and address a grade, or mm-hmm. the whole school. Mm-hmm. It runs the gamut, and we do that. I would say there's not a day a week that we are either having schools at our center or we are in a school somewhere on Long Island, or both.
Because when I taught in Great Neck, I had the pleasure of initiating an intergenerational program where I brought in grandparents just to speak to the kids about their experiences. And it was just so natural to see the relationship between kids and the grandparents. They just enjoyed doing that. And they even wanted to know if they could call these grandparents at home because they might be lonely, they told me afterwards, because many of the grandparents live alone.
When we have a program with a Holocaust survivor, And you got to remember, most of these kids have not been exposed to Holocaust education at all up to now.
That's right.
And they hear this story, and they're very taken by it, whatever. And the vast majority of them are not Jewish. They don't, they're not learning about this much at home or in Hebrew
right.
school or something like that. Right. They all want to come up and hug the survivor
yes.
afterwards.
Yes, yes.
And you're not, you got to see the love that develops. And it's just so meaningful.
It is.
Do you ever, I mean, there's a lot of schools on Long Island and everywhere else that has problems, that have people, that kids that are brought up in environments where, you know, they're not tolerant. Are you ever called in to talk at a school? I mean, like,
well, what happens now is there are incidents, hate incidents, all the time in schools all over Long Island, and primarily graffiti with swastikas or nooses or other indications or some kid being called names. And what happens now is schools have learned that they don't call Ghostbusters. They call the Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center. We get called to come in and do a program.
Right.
And then it generally blossoms into something much bigger. We also work very closely with District Attorney Madeline Singus. When kids are arrested.
She's on the show next week, by the way.
Well, you can ask her about this.
Okay,
when kids are arrested for some kind of hate crime or whatever, very often part of their program or sentence is that they are sent to us for a day and spend the time talking to a Holocaust survivor and whatever and going through it. It's a big burden for us to do this. It takes a lot of time and effort, but it's very, very important. And you find out most of the time these kids don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
They draw a swastika. They have no idea what it means,
right.
even.
Right. Right.
But they know it's hurtful. And in places where there's tension between new different ethnic groups, when kids lash out at each other, what's the first thing they do? They say something that's racially driven or whatever.
Right.
And again, without knowing what it's talking about. We had developed a program, I see you were reading about it,
yes.
Called dealing with what we call deconstructing the symbols of hate.
Okay.
Because most kids, again, don't even understand what they're about. And we teach what these symbols mean, where they came from, how hurtful they are to people today, and why you shouldn't be doing this.
Right. Stephen, we have 60 seconds left. We could go on. I think there's not enough shows that you could come and speak about. Am I right? I mean, you really provided a wealth of information, and the importance of this center is just endless. And, you know, I'm hoping that those survivors that are aging out and getting too old, that their family members are carrying on for them.
We call them the second generation.
Yes. Yes.
And a lot of our programs are now carried on by the children and grandchildren of survivors.
I'm so glad to hear this. Christina, we have to have him back because we have 30 seconds. Thank you so much for taking the time out to, you know, bring the message here. And we're all very grateful. We will be back at 11:30 for Talk of the Town with Christina Liu. You guys will be listening to Old Time Radio. Next up.